Philippians chapter 4. This will be our last lesson tonight in Philippians. Next Wednesday is Thanksgiving Eve, so there's not a session next Wednesday evening. Philippians chapter 4, beginning at verse 20 to the end of the book. Now to our God and Father be the glory forever and ever. Amen. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. The brethren who are with me greet you. All the saints greet you, especially those of Caesar's household. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. And I'll just mention as well, if you have any questions about the entire book of Philippians, you can feel free to ask those tonight since we're finishing it up. So we come to the final farewell section of this letter, and verse 20, because it has amen at the end of it, you would think he was ending the book at verse 20, and then verses 21, 22, and 23 are kind of a P.S. By the way, I'm, you know, saying hi from all these other people. And maybe that is the way it happened. I don't know. But verse 20 is a great verse about the glory of God. To our God and Father. Now, this is fairly obvious even in English, God and Father, but you've heard me talk about this construction before, that the way this is set up, God and Father makes the references on both sides of the word and as equivalent to one another. So this is a demonstration that God and Father are the same being. So you could even have a translation that says, now to God, even the Father. But God and Father, I think, captures the idea. And he is our God and our Father. This might be a good time to insert this. There are those who suggest to me that Father, God as Father, is like a metaphor of some kind, that God is like a father to us. That does not work here. Okay? God really is your Father if you are born again. He really is your Father. He's not just like a father. He really is your Father. So to say our Father here is a very important statement. So to him be the glory forever and ever. The understanding that the Bible, from beginning to end, is to demonstrate the glory of God in history. Not just human history, but the history of angels and demons, the history of everything. The glory of God. When you read the Bible, even some of those things that seem kind of negative and strange to us, you know, when we were doing the history of Israel, I had to point this out several times, that when the Lord said to wipe out the Canaanite villages, you realize there are a lot of people that take real offense to that. In fact, with the rise of COVID, the pandemic, this whole argument is drastically increased. I can't believe in a God who would tell Joshua to kill people. I can't believe in a God who would wipe people out. By the way, the God of the flood with Noah certainly did wipe people out, didn't he? I can't believe in it. I can't believe in a God who would allow a global pandemic. You know, it's part of the issue of if God is good, why is there evil in the world? You know, there are more and more people who have no interest in God, the Bible, the church, any of these things, the gospel. They have no interest in it because of this problem. What is it that they miss? They miss that everything that occurs is for the glory of God. Everything that occurs, to him be the glory forever and ever. In the final analysis, not only the new heavens and the new earth will glorify God, obviously they will. He will live there with us. But the lake of fire glorifies God. It displays his holiness, his eternal holy wrath. It brings glory to him. So the glory of God is very important. And Paul not only makes this as a statement for the Philippians at the end of a letter, it's a profound theological statement of Paul's outlook on everything in life. It's all to the glory of God. So to him be the glory forever and ever. And he puts the word amen at the end of verse 20 to say, I really believe that. I believe it. That's right. That's the way it is. And this is what we all believe. Not understanding this glory of God is one of the main reasons a lot of people, even in a lot of churches, do not understand the Bible. You know, because without the doxological purpose of the Bible, the glory of God, what you're left with is the Bible as a devotional book. So how do a lot of people read the Bible? Well, I want to look through the Bible and see if I can find something that makes me feel good. I want to look through the Bible and see if I can find something that helps me. Okay? But what about all the other things in the Bible? They are equally as much, each and every word, the very word of God, each one, and they all are demonstrating the glory of God, whether they make you feel good at the moment or not. So it's vitally important. Verse 21. Greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Now, we would assume that because this letter is to the Philippians, that that means the saints that are there at Philippi. Otherwise, you'd have to take it as go around and find every believer on the planet and greet them. I doubt if that's what Paul was intending for them to say, although it is amazing how many people Paul knew, you know, all around the world. So, greet every saint in Christ Jesus. Greet one another. And then Paul says, the brethren who are with me greet you. And Paul was at this point under house arrest in Rome, in a Roman prison. But there were brethren there, some of them Romans, some of them from elsewhere also. And they all greet the Philippians. So apparently Paul was saying something like, I'm writing a letter to the Philippians. And everybody he said that to said, well, tell them hi for me. You know, greet them on my behalf as well. Verse 22, all the saints greet you. And again, we presume that means all the saints there at Rome, especially those of Caesar's household. Now, we do not have any record of members of Caesar's family coming to faith in Christ and being saved. So, who probably were these people? They were probably slaves, workers in Caesar's household. They were people who had been reached while Paul was there. If you remember back to Philippians chapter 1, verse 13, Paul said that his imprisonment in the cause of Christ has become well known throughout the whole Praetorian Guard and to everyone else. So the guards, the slaves, the workers in Caesar's household were there. Some of them came to faith in Christ. And I mentioned when we were back in chapter 1 also that some of the Praetorian Guard, we have historical records that say that when they were sent to England, they were the first to take the gospel to England. Roman prison guards that carried the gospel there. So those of Caesar's household send their greetings to the Philippians. Likely none of those people had ever met any of the Philippians, but they obviously had heard Paul talking about it, so they wanted the Philippians to know them as well. And finally, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Now, please don't read "with your spirit" as something real mystical or strange. Remember, the words spirit, heart, and mind are interchangeable throughout the whole Bible. And that's true here. You could say the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your heart. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your mind. Be with your spirit. There's an interesting thought for verse 23. Do we need the grace of God in order to think well? We do. You don't just need the grace of God to be saved or to do things or to be helped, but the grace of God, the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your mind, with your spirit, with your heart. I've actually shared this verse and verses like it with some who have feared. You know, they tell me, I'm losing my mind. You know, maybe it's dementia, maybe it's Alzheimer's, you know, but they just feel like they can't think right. Well, may the grace of Jesus be with your mind, be with your spirit. Say, well, will that make my dementia go away? Well, maybe not, but it will certainly make it what the Lord wants it to be. When I was actually a high school student, an assistant pastor in the church had a nervous breakdown and ended up in the hospital. And he wasn't really that old a guy. He was probably about 40-ish at that time. The senior pastor, who was in his 70s at that time, came and visited the associate in the hospital and heard the associate kind of, you know, apologizing and complaining, you know, here I am in the hospital, I'm supposed to be serving and ministering to others, and, you know, here I am and I'm having a nervous breakdown and all that. And the senior pastor, who was really the first pastor that I ever heard teach the Bible, even though I'd been in church, but he was a Bible teacher. And he said to this associate, if you have to have a nervous breakdown, have it to the glory of God. You know, if you have to have dementia, have it to the glory of God. You know, if you're struggling with these things, may the grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirit. Any questions from anything in the book of Philippians before we finish up tonight? Compared to other things that we have studied, this is one of the easier books to grasp. Any questions at all? Well, we see then whether Paul is in prison, whether the Philippians are doing well or whether they're suffering, they are to have joy. Joy in Christ. And the joy of the Lord is kind of a big idea in the book of Philippians, and it extends to everything. And in that, the Lord gets the glory. Heavenly Father, we thank you for this journey that we have taken through the book of Philippians. And Lord, we thank you for what we've seen of Paul's heart for the gospel, no matter what he's going through, and how the Philippians shared in that. And Lord, may we share in that as well. We thank you, Lord, that Paul's entire focus in this letter is on Christ. To live is Christ, to die is gain. So, Lord, may we too be focused upon Christ. And may the grace of Christ, the Lord Jesus Christ, be with our spirit. In Jesus' name, amen.